Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. Go before Him in prayer. Lord, what a precious opportunity, Lord, together once again this night, Lord. Lord, we didn't come hoping to grow, Lord. We come knowing, Lord, that You're going to give us something to grow, Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings on us, Lord. And one of them is gathering right here, Lord, with an assurance in our hearts, Lord, that You're taking care of us. And Lord, just singing praises unto Thee and knowing, Lord, that, Lord, every step of the way we take, we know You got our hand, oh Lord. Lord, just have Your way in this service, Lord. Let us sing from the depths of our hearts, Lord. Lord, let's give everything back to You, Lord. Lord, because You're surely deserving of it this night. Lord, we ask all these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you like. Amen. Page 354, and you only believe. I have a source of strength. No, He's always there when we need Him. I have a source of strength when I am weak. That takes me through when life is pressing me.
Those precious blessings. It is well.
Thank you, Lord. It says my sin, not in part, but in whole. Amen. It's nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Amen. His grace and his mercy. Amen. A little course on 689. Same book. I like this little song. Amen. This song has a lot of truth in it. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in that last verse again. Amen. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Amen. So true. God comes so easy when life's at its best. God of the good times is still God in the bad times.
Amen.
Amen. You just know that He's going to take care of you regardless.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Kevin, would you like to take up the offering if you want? Amen.
Great Heavenly Father, how we just love and appreciate you tonight. Lord, to fill your presence with us. And Lord, just thinking of these songs. And Lord, truly it is through them tests and trials when it shows where we're short and it shows where we have overcome. And Lord, shows us that you're right there with us, even in the good times and the bad times, that we just love and appreciate you so much for that. And Lord, we're just thankful for this opportunity tonight to come here to the house of the Lord and to worship you in spirit and truth. And know that you receive our worship and you hear it. And Lord, that hear your word that you've already prepared. That we need, Lord, to grow even farther with you, to keep taking steps forward with you, Lord. And we just love and appreciate you so much for that, and for that understanding of it, Lord, to think that there would be a people that could sit under that word and without that revelation, Lord, would never understand what was being brought forward. But thank you, Lord, that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear and revealed that word unto us. And we just love you and appreciate you for that. We pray, Lord, you just bless each one that can give and those that can't. Lord, may you use us for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You know, sometimes the Lord brings tests and trials just to make something beautiful of our lives. Amen. Seen it so many times.
Amen.
Lessons learned. Something beautiful.
Yes.
Amen. Something beautiful. Amen. anybody got a need by the upper raising their hand tonight? Thank you, Lord. Brother Dino, you want to take it?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this precious opportunity that you have given us. Oftentimes, Lord, when you move in our hearts and we feel the sweetness of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we don't hardly feel worthy for your presence to flow through us, Lord. But Father, you saw something beautiful. You saw something good. And it wasn't, Lord, nothing that we could offer. It was what you gave us, Lord. It's what you've done for us. It's so amazing to see how you work, Lord. It's so amazing to see your love and your mercy, Lord, for a people. And Father, we appreciate it. And Father, we ask tonight that first above everything, help each and every one of us, Lord, our spiritual condition. That, Lord, it'll be exactly what you want it to be. That, Lord, you'll help us to yield to you and surrender our lives greater to you. That you can truly have a full and complete preeminence of our lives. Give us revelation, Lord, of the word that'll bring us to that. Oh, God, we pray for revelation. You know our hearts, Lord. Oftentimes we cry out for revelation. We ask you, Lord, to continue to reveal your word to us. And then, Father, we know that all these other things shall be added to us. Lord, if there's any sick and afflicted, oh God, we know that you can come down tonight and give us what we need, Lord. Give us the revelation that by your stripes we're already healed, and by faith be able to claim that, Lord. And stand on those promises. Lord, if any may have financial needs or material needs, whatever it may be, you're the great provider, Lord. And we know that you're more than able to give it to us. And Father, if we come before you without any condemnation, we can ask whatever we desire and we'll receive it, Lord. We appreciate it now. We ask that you just continue to have your way in the service now. Bless our brother as he has led the song service. Meet the needs in his life, Lord. And Father, let him know we appreciate it.
Amen.
We appreciate, Lord, anyone that will stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for the brother that will bring the word tonight. May you bless him richly, Lord. Open our hearts to it, and may we be hungering for it.
Amen.
And may he feel the pull in our hearts coming for the word. Lord Jesus, just take this little building over. Move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, that you'll get your glory and honor that's due to you. We thank you now, Lord, for everything. Appreciate all your love and mercy and grace in our lives. And we thank you now for all things that you've met our needs. And we believe it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
May be seated. Amen. Has anybody got a song in their heart tonight at all? Just grace.
Cause God to forgive all your sins and set you free. And what would cause God to give you his word and let you see? There's no way to explain it. There is only one word. could spend a lifetime looking for a phrase, but there is only one word to say.
Truly grateful to feel your presence here with us this evening. Lord, to be able to sing these precious songs that we have sang. And Lord, that it's only grace. We thank you, Lord, for the desire we feel in our hearts.
Amen.
The drawing and the pulling, and the pressing.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray that as each day goes forth, let it grow greater. And Lord, we just ask this evening that you would bless your precious word as we go and read some scriptures and quotes, Lord, and bring a thought back to our minds. Lord, may you just have your way. And Lord, may it help someone along the way. And Lord, just take each one of us in your hands greater, Lord, and let us be more of that people that you would have us to be. And we'll I'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor that's due you. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him?
Amen.
He's so real, so precious. Amen. Thank the Lord for everything he does for us. Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me, we'll just turn over to Book of Hebrews in the 6th chapter. Amen. Just so thankful for what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives, you know.
Amen.
So thankful for that precious word. Amen. Just a small little exhortation tonight, but I believe that it's what the Lord kind of wanted for us this evening. And nothing deep, so nothing we haven't heard, but maybe in a way to help catch our attention a little greater, maybe help us along the way. The Lord knows all about it. Amen. But Hebrews, the 6th chapter, start there at the 13th verse. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Amen. You should see yourself right there. But the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in too within the veil. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. Amen. Just remember that it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. I just thinking about the messages our brother's been bringing on faith, and then even the message this morning. When you see the closeness of the hour and you see all that's going on around us. But some of us have been traveling with the Lord for many years. Some of us have just started out. Maybe some of us have had different walks of life. But nevertheless, each one of us are here. And are here because of a draw or because we've heard God speak to us in some way. And, you know, as we start our journeys and things, God is always mindful of his little elected. And I just would like to turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter, and read a little portion of Scripture. Amen. Just to kind of point us along the way here. You know, it's just, we hear word and we hear word and we've sat here and we hear word here. Maybe we travel, we hear other people preach to us. Maybe along the way we hear this story, somebody told us this. But nevertheless, we've got to keep our eyes focused on the Word. And that's kind of this little example. I'm going to use it as an example here in the 14th chapter of Matthew in the 22nd verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come and to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he was walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of truth, thou art the Son of God. But I want you to think of Peter there for a moment. As in a moment of courage and strength when he realized that that was Jesus. And he said, if it be thou, Lord, bid me come to you. And in a moment of courage and, oh, it is him, he jumped out of the boat and got his feet on the water. But immediately, he let his human reasoning take over right there. I'm walking on the water. That was unheard of to the human mind. The waves were big. The wind was strong. And being a human, you can imagine how he must have felt. I'm standing on the sea, and there's no bottom underneath it. And you can kind of imagine the thoughts that began to rush through his mind, and he took his eyes off of Jesus and off what Jesus told him to do. And he began to sink. And then the Lord was there to reach out his hand and save him. And you know, often as we walk through life, we lose our focus. Each one of us at some point has heard that voice speak to us, come. And I know, and you've got to know, that it was Jesus that said, come. And he is the all-knowing, the great I am. He is the word and the truth, the light and the way. And his voice only is all that matters. And when you first start out, you hear him come and you go to the water, you're baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you begin your journey. And you're on fire and you're all tuned in with him. But then maybe along life's way, you begin to slack off a little bit. And I got this, and I got it. But yet, the word was clear cut. The time when he pulled you to him, it was to obey all my commandments. All the word that we've heard and heard and heard, that was our guide, and that's what we were to do. And you know, the word lays here that has come and showed us the faith that we should have and all that's going on. But we've got to reach into a place to where we can tune out all that's around us, all the voices and the people and all the many creeds and doctrines and ideas. And you've got to focus your channel down to where you're focused back on what God has spoke to you as an individual. Amen. Oftentimes we come into a service and the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. And it may really just, oh, amen. And you begin to feel that. But then you got a little bit. And then we go out and, oh my, we get bombarded with the cares of life and the troubles and the creeds and everything comes pounding in till I can't hear what God was trying to show me again. And then I begin to, my mind's fuddled up now and I've lost my focus of where I was. But I want you to know that if you can keep it focused on Jesus Christ, it will bring back exactly the way he said it would. And for an example, I want to, Brother Branham preached a little message called Look in April 28, 1963. And he used some very simple explanations in here, and I just would like to read this to you. I'm going to read it just the way I'm going to start here, and we're going to read about a page and a half. But I want you to catch what he was saying in a way to express it. And he says, about page 8, paragraph 51, and my boy Billy the other day gave me a camera, and he showed me an object, and he said, Daddy, take a picture out there. And it was a little 35-millimeter Petra, and I took up the little camera and looked at the object. And there was about three of them objects standing out there, a saguaro cactus, and I could see one stalk, two stalks, three stalks. And I took it down again, and I looked, and there was only one stalk, and I put it up again, and it looked like there was three stalks. And that's just the way sometimes we get out of focus. We've got a rangefinder, and we try to put something of God way back, somewhere else, something another. Maybe we haven't used our rangefinder. Let the Holy Spirit get our ideas away from ourself and our church theology, and let the rangefinder come in and connect us. Now, those are simple words, but I want you to really listen to what he's saying and think about it. When he says, let the Holy Spirit get our ideas, that's all our ideas, everything we think about it, and get our church theology, all the things we've learned all through our life, coming up through every church. This brother said that. Pastor so-and-so said this. Teacher so-and-so said that. We got to get rid of all of that. Focus out everything. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the water. Now we got to come back to the word, and we got to focus our attention. There's many people all through the land. You're going to pass. It's going to tell you this. They're going to tell you that. And if we try to figure it out in ourselves, we're going to see one stalk, two stalks, three stalks. Our picture is going to be distorted. But that's why God gave us this Bible. That's why he gave us these messages in this hour. Amen. That we would have a clear-cut vision of where we were headed. Amen. And that's what that little bride's concerned about. And it's not given to everyone to know, but there straight is the gate, and be few there be that find it. And as we enter into this last moments of time, we've got to take that with seriousness, that the word means just what it says. Broad is the gate, and many there be that go in, but we've got to let the word, because he said exactly what he meant. God don't mix his words, and he don't need an interpreter. What he said, that's what he meant, and that's how we've got to see it in our hearts and in our lives. And we've got to focus it down to that. And he says, you'll see one object of God. Looking through the same camera, a man can see something, but let his own intelligence tell him there's only one stock out there, see? But that's the way the Holy Spirit does. If we'll just let it have its way, it'll take the word itself and bring it into focus to where we'll see what we're looking at then. And then you'll find out maybe if people that are trying to show you something is not so wrong after all. You see, if you'll just let the rangefinder start, the word itself begin to show the word in manifestation. Amen? It'll do it if you'll just let it. But you've got to use the rangefinder. You've got to use it. And just think of what he's trying to say. It must, and our pastor has been stressing it, it must be the Holy Ghost. It must be the Holy Spirit. You must be born again, because that is that rangefinder that's going to pull it down and focus your vision. And you know, let me go on over here just a little bit farther. He says, he's going to use a real fine example of something that's really simple. He says, I love to shoot, and the targets here not long ago, I was squirrel hunting down in Kentucky. A very familiar story, but just let him catch the essence of, don't let it just be a story about a rifle, but what he was trying to portray across through it. He says, I had a little Model 75 rifle, it sounds, and I hope it don't sound sacrilegious to say this in a sermon, but I will tell you, I'm trying to make a point, that this little rifle, I trained it in, and I've dealt and fooled with guns since I was a little kid. I love them, and I had this little Model 75 till I just, every time I could hit a squirrel's eye 50 yards away with it. And I had a paper from the range down there signed up that driving 9 bullets through the same hole at 50 yards on a rainy, windy day. And I got it signed up and notarized, and that was the Lord helping me, of course, to do that. That's unusual. And I started to shoot the squirrel. I found out I hit him somewhere else besides in the eye, and I got nervous, and I tried again on the paper, and it wouldn't hit the target. And it wouldn't hit within, oh, a quarter of an inch or a half an inch of something at 50 yards, but I knowed it would do better than that. I had done everything to that gun I knowed how to do, and nothing seemed to fix it up right. So I wrapped it up in the box, and I sent it back to Winchester Company for examination for rebedding, and they wrote me a nice letter I have on my file at home, and it said, Reverend Branham, that rifle will group an inch at 25 yards. That it's just a Model 75. It's not a target gun. It's just a little plinker, and you'll never get any better than that. And that was the Winchester Company that made that gun. Said an inch at 25 yards, and I drove 9 straight holes at 50 yards. Now, here's my thought. My wife said, now look, Bill, she said, if that company who made the rifle will just say that, and it won't do no better than that, then who are you to say that it will, basically? And he said, honey, here's what it is. I don't care what the company says. I've seen it do it, and I know it'll do it. And we can look into this word and see what the Holy Spirit has done. We can see what the Holy Ghost has done in the days of old and what it presented and how it happened, just like it said it would. Amen. Now the churches today are taking that away. It's not quite like that. We can't expect God to be that real today. It's not going to happen just like that. This and that. But if it done it once, and God don't lie, the same God that was back there is here tonight. The same word that he left for this day, there's going to be a little bride rise on the scene that's going to hit that mark 100% right in time. Now that little bride's going to be a called out few. She's not going to be real popular. She's not going to be well liked. She may not have a million friends. She's probably not going to be invited everywhere to do this and that with all the many ones that follow this message. And that's true. And that sometimes that's hard to hear. It's hard to know that you've got friends or loved ones that you can see that their life's wrong, whether they claim to be following this message, but the word is telling the story, and God don't lie. The same word that I can read that shows me that I'm standing where God wants me to stand and the path that I'm to walk in, it's showing me where they're standing as well. And we have to own up to that and look into the word and be able to say, God don't lie. When he said that, when Brother Branham used the example many times of a woman cutting her hair, say you got the Holy Ghost and cut your hair, it can't be so. And that's how we've got to take the word today and let it be that real to us, that when God says something, that's the way it is. We don't ever try to put our theology to it or our idea. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, but God's word done spoke. Yeah. And if we would take it more seriously and then to try to find a loophole, we would get farther in God if we would just take him at his word. You know what? I'm going to jump over here real quick to Romans, the fourth chapter, if you would. Just to throw this in there. You know, when we started out walking for the Lord, he didn't promise us a bed of roses. And life, you know, when you look back at the Christians of old that had to give their very life and their blood for a testimony, and you think of God would require that of them, and we look back and we say, boy, but God was blessing them to do that, and they was going there and singing and with joy and let it happen. But today, God has placed it down to a more serious moment. A people that will take a stand against sin and against the word. And though it be family, mom, dad, brother, sister, daughter, it don't matter. But he chose a people that would have a backbone, that they would stand with that word through all the ridicule that would come in this last hour. Persecution. You know, it's easy to just say this and that. But when we're put to the test, it gets mighty tough. You know, here in Romans, the fourth chapter and the 19th verse. Let me see. This is just a portion. Let's see. This is not the exact scripture that I was wanting. I was going to get to this one, but just remember Abraham. God said, separate yourself. Here Abraham had everything going fine. Him and Lot sharing all the spoils and very blessed in their crops and their land and all the things they had. And God called him out from amongst that and said, separate yourself and come to a land which I'll give you. And he took him on a journey. And then on that journey, he promised him a child. And I want you to think about that as he says in the 19th verse, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, I want you to think when Abraham took out on that journey, how silly it must have looked to leave all that he had. The wealth, the extreme life at ease that he had to get out there in the desert and to dwell in tents with his family and his flocks. In barren lands. And here the people must have shook their head and thought, boy, he's crazy. It was against the contrary and popular idea. Yes, but he went because God spoke to him. Mm-hmm. God called him out of that and said, come. And he went. Amen. And he followed God with a sure heart. And then God gave him this promise. He called him out from amongst them, and then he gives him a promise like this. And how the people must have really ridiculed him then. Look how old you are. How are you going to have a son? How's this going to be to you? And look at your wife. But he staggered not. He didn't count the obstacles that were standing around him. And oftentimes that's what hinders us, is the obstacles. We hear the voice of the Lord call for us to come. And we want to make that move and we start. But then the obstacles are great. Well, I got this to do and all this and all that. But God is looking for someone to press through every one of those obstacles and keep their eyes focused totally on the purpose for which they were sent. I might be a mother with children. I've got great duties. But yet there's something in my heart. I'm going to push through all those duties. And I'm still going to be a person that God called me to be and have a life on display. I might be a husband. And I've got a job. And I've got busy over here. And this is going on. That, but I'm going to push through all of that. And not let those obstacles deter me from being what God called me to be. I'm not going to look to the right or the left. Maybe I'm a family and I'm moving through life and an obstacle arises that I need God to move. I'm not going to look at the obstacles. I'm going to go to God in prayer and take it to God. Abraham followed God and he never doubted. He separated himself from all unbelief. And he didn't look to nothing but what God told him. And you know, oftentimes we go through and we think about this as what I'm talking about, focusing in on what God wants us to do. And oftentimes we look back into Scripture, oh, that was a prophet. We look back at Brother Branham and say, oh, that was a prophet. But you know, the footsteps of the righteous ordained of God. That's what the prophet, the word says. And you know, I want to read you a little something. This man wasn't a prophet. But I believe he was a righteous man. I believe the prophet has atoned he was a righteous man. And God, this is talking about George Washington. And God knew that this country had to be free for his plan to be fulfilled in this last day. God knew every step it was going to take to bring us to where we are today, that his word would have a place to go out in the freedom that it's been, to be distributed so every man would have a chance. Because God don't call nobody to judgment without first warning him. But I want you to think about this. Here's old George Washington now. And Brother Branham's speaking about him here on page 14 in the Message in Absolute. March 3rd to 4th, 1963, paragraph 97. And he says, how much more, he set an example, can we see? Let me drop down to 98. I am thinking right now, as in closing, would be George Washington, when America was young and we were fighting for life, the life of this great nation that we have. George Washington was a Christian. He was a believer. And down at Valley Forge, I'm told that American soldiers only had 1/3 of them had on shoes, and the winter was cold and zero weather, and the river was frozen and gorging over, and the British on the other side, and the life of this little nation was at hand. Now, a whole lot of circumstances right there. I want you to think about this. How desperate. Sometimes we go through life and we let the smallest circumstance become the greatest obstacle in our life. As our brother sang the song, God on the mountain. He is God on the mountain, and he's also God in the night. But are we willing to make him be the God that he can be? It takes sacrifice sometimes on our part for God to move and to show that he still's God. And your desire, your motive, and your objective will make the difference. And I want you to think about this. Now, here's a man that's got all kinds of obstacles. And here's a, when you stop to think of that, he wasn't just his life, but he's got the life of all those other men whose feet were bleeding and cracked and half froze and frostbit. And here stands a Christian with knowing in his heart what England represented at the time. And he says, what did he do? He was a Christian. He goes out in the nighttime and he kneels down in the snow. And he prays until he was wet with snow and water up around his waistline. And he stayed there. And he prayed until he got an absolute, the answer from God, that God was going to give him the victory. And our brother has talked about that many times. Oftentimes we go to God with a need, but we don't ever give him time to answer. And we make our own decisions and then we wind up in trouble. But if we'll wait on God, he does answer prayers. He ain't going to speak to you with an audible voice, but you'll know it's him when he answers. Amen. And he says, "In the next that God was going to give him the victory. And the next day at Valley Forge was nothing to him. He crossed the Delaware, pushed through the ice with half-dressed soldiers, half-froze, their bare feet on the ground and in the snow, and he took it with 3 rifle bullets, went through his coat. Why? He was trusting and an absolute of an answered prayer, the very backgrounds of our nation based upon such a thing. But what's the matter with people today who claim to be Christians? Why are we disturbed in an hour like this? Let's not be disturbed, but let's be soldiers, yes, sir. He prayed until he got the answer, and then no clouded river, no bare-feeted soldiers. Regardless of them circumstances, they could take it because God had said so. And a bullet couldn't even kill him from an enemy's rifle. Certainly why, he had a prayer meeting and he got the answer. How well it was one night with Apostle Peter. Now, I'll stop right there. Sir, he had a prayer meeting. But I want you to think about this gentleman. He didn't let no obstacle stand in his way when he knew that he had an answer from the Lord, that that's what was to take place in his life. And I want you to think this was a human, this wasn't a prophet. He was just a Christian, a believer, our prophet said. And I want you to think about that. So here we stand tonight, each one of us. And each one of us have started out to serve the Lord. And we're in an age where it's going to be so very few that's going to take that stand and be that one that's going to finish this race and have a press in their heart for God. And but we've got to focus our attention down to the Word and take the Word and let it be God's Word be God. As Elijah said on Mount Carmel, if God be God, then serve him. Amen. But oh my, this today, make your decision whom you'll serve. You can't serve both, but we must focus in to which what we're going to do in life. Yes. But you know, there's no obstacles too great. There are many times things get in the way. Maybe our jobs, God moves jobs every day. He moves whatever we need to make the way for it. And you know, I often think of, you know, if in this day that we're living in, and you begin to see the need for the Word to have preeminence in your life, and if you see an obstacle rise, what is your motive and objective to it? You know, do you, how much does this Word mean to me? How much does finishing this work mean versus my everyday living? When you stop to think of, we've all got to have jobs, we've all got to have homes. But what if the job I have, what if the home I have, what if is hindering me from getting closer to God? Being closer drawn to Him, having more of Him manifesting and living in my life. Does it mean more to me that this Word have the full preeminence and have full control of my life? Or is that still secondary in my life and I've not focused that in because somebody said, that's not that important. God understands. You know, oftentimes, as human beings, one for another, we often say that maybe. I understand you couldn't be at church tonight, but does God understand? He knows all about it. And God knows our hearts. And He searches the reins. And He truly knows if we're truly sincere with being that little bride that's going to stand here in this last day, one that He said would be here without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. In His image, she would shine. Are we that concerned about our image being His? I wonder. Amen. Let me turn over here. Amen. This is on page 10 of the message I was in. Look. If obeying this word, take this rangefinder and bring it down to place so I can see the same thing those apostles saw, the same gospel they preached. It produced the same results because it did for them. It'll strike the target every time. No matter what the churches say and the people who claims to be, I know it will do it because that is what I want to look at. The word, to see that it's exactly in focus, to see the same vision they saw. It'll do the same job that it did for them. It'll heal the sick. And it'll raise the dead. It'll cast out devils. It'll bring forth a glorious church who is willing to seal their testimony with their own blood if it comes necessary to do that, because it depends on what you're looking at. Now, let's drop down here. He says, but if He is ever God, He is still God. He always was God. He can't be nothing else but God. And He is God eternal. Therefore, we want to look to that target, not the target that the church is shooting at, but what target that Christ is shooting at. And how true that is. We want to make sure we're zeroing in and look at what Christ is shooting at, not what our church is shooting at, what my brother's shooting at, what Pastor so-and-so feels we're shooting at, but what the Word says we're shooting at. That's where we're headed back to. And if you'll follow and watch the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe you can't deny that the Holy Spirit is shooting for an exact image, the invisible union, the bride and the groom being one. Oh my, coming back. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father. It's going to be that real, saints. Hallelujah. As Enoch walked off of this earth, so are we, with a testimony that we pleased God. And how this word is bringing that, and how it should be that real in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. We must focus our lives, not what somebody else says, but focus our lives to Him, and He is the Word. If we get our lives lined with that Word, then the Word in our life becomes the same. He said, if ye abide in Me, of My word in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be granted to you. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Oh my, not what I said, but what you said you can have. Because you and He become the same, because the mind that was in Christ is in you, and the mind that was in Christ was to fulfill the Father's word, which He was the Word. And then if you and the Word are focused in together, you become a living unit of God. And that's what we want to see, saints. Is that real? And you know, I was in this message here. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't even know what time I got started. Let's see here. And God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. I just want to read this. And I want you just to think about it. I don't know who it's for or where it'll fall. But just let it go into place with our brother. I think it was last Sunday night when he was speaking that you can have. You know, God moves on the scene for everything. And oftentimes, you know, we think health issues come along, diabetes, whatever it is, overweight, anything you can name it. All these things that we can have. Misstrewn joints and limbs and whatever else. But He is the healer of all our diseases. And you know, you and I have a source of strength. And we say we claim the blood. That blood was shed for that. And that's holy. The word has been coming, trying to shape us and get us into that thing of the faith, the revelation that we can have. Faith cometh by hearing our word. Our brother has stressed it. And I want you to, as it's revealed to you, and it gets a hold in your heart, it's going to bring this body subject to that word. But you've got to hear the word and be open to it to let it change you. But I want you to think about this as he's speaking of Hezekiah here in this message on page 9. He said Hezekiah was told to make ready and get ready because he had to meet his maker. And Hezekiah was a king and a great man. Did you notice his plea? Lord, I beseech you to consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. And I want you to think about that. You can have whatsoever you will if your heart condemns you not. Amen. And I want you to remember that. He said Hezekiah, he was able to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I've walked before you with a perfect heart. I want you to think about that along with some of the things our brother has brought. He said a perfect heart, what a testimony that is to us today. And it should be a man that walks before God. Even death was pronounced upon the man. Yet God changed his mind about him because Hezekiah wanted to do something. And God said he would give us the desires of our heart. And Hezekiah's time had come. And he got a cancer on him or something or another. And they called it a boil on that day. But we know boils don't regularly kill you. They just get well. But perhaps it was a cancer and it opened up like a boil. And God told Isaiah, go up there and tell him he's going to die. And Hezekiah had something he wanted to do. And when you plead anything to God, you've got to have a reason for it. It's just like the scripture that I so often refer to. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Now, that's altogether controlled on a motive and objective. See, or it won't happen. You just can't go out here. That's where many of us make many mistakes, is going out and saying, now, I'll show you I've got faith to do this. And you're wrong to begin with. God don't give you gifts just to play with. And as I was saying a while ago, he don't show you visions just to play with. That's nothing to play with. That's sacred. Just use it. Let me drop down. And the world today is just like Hezekiah was then. It's been warned, and it's constantly warned, and the church is being warned. And now these things don't happen by chance. They've all got something behind them. And Hezekiah being sick, having this boy, it wasn't by chance. God sent Isaiah up there and told him to set his house in order because he was going to die. And Hezekiah wept and told God, I've walked before you with a perfect heart, and I pray you spare my life for a cause. A good cause, the cause of God. And God told the prophet, go back and tell him. Now, isn't that strange? Hezekiah was the greatest man in the land. And he was king and a godly man, and he was a real man. If he could plead before God and God didn't rebuke him for it, amen. That's the key. God knew. Amen. He said, I walk before you with a perfect heart. Now, that's saying a whole lot. And God never said, no, Hezekiah, you didn't do it. But he admitted he did do it. And he said, I'm going to spare your life a little longer. And I'm going to give you a request, see, because he had been a just man and a real servant to Christ. And I want us to think about that. Could we go to God in prayer tonight with that testimony that, Lord, you know I've walked before you with a perfect heart. That's where it's got to be, saints. That's the reality this word's trying to show us. Many people in the land, they don't care about this. They've lost their goal. Race cars and ball games and all the worldly entertainment they can have and the hunting trips, the fishing trips, all that they can get their hands on in this life has become that pleasure. Let's have a meeting and have so-and-so sing. Let's have a meeting and we'll do this. But the cause of God's been forgotten. They're not shooting at the same target he's shooting at. But there's individuals shooting at that target. And they're shooting at that target because God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of them, pointing them and focusing them in and shooting for that target. And that's where we must make sure that each one of us, that our target's in focus and what we're shooting for. Or am I just coming to church to shoot at the target to be a church member? But God is calling someone to a higher walk, a walk maybe we've never experienced before, a place we've never been, unknown. Sometimes it means leaving family behind. That's one of the hardest things to do. And we've done that, some of us. We know what it's like. But you know, God is a rewarder for all things. And God didn't place us here and tell us that this life was going to be a bed of roses. But he's still God and always will be God. And he's here to prove every word. Yes, he is. And he wants a people that can prove him, that he can manifest through and prove out these promises through. He needs an Abraham today. He needs a Peter on the scene. Someone where they was, as I started to read earlier, here Peter thrown in jail and the saints begin to pray. And the jails, the angel of the Lord went and booted Peter in the side, woke him up, said, come on. Didn't leave nothing behind, put your shoes on. Come on, we're leaving. Took him out and walked him down. And Peter come to himself, he thought it was a vision. And he walked down the street and he's like, this ain't a vision. And he went to the door of the house and the ones that were praying for him couldn't believe it was him. They thought it was his ghost. But God is real. And he was showing them then that that was the original. That was the target that he could be in people's lives. And that God lives today to meet needs. Whatever you've got need of, he is still God to prove that. But a people's got to get in that order. This ain't the age of just gifts and no life. Many people speak in tongues. Many people run all over the church. But very few people have got a life to vindicate them back up the scriptures. But there's going to be a people that's going to have that life. Along with every gift that God's got, they can manifest it if God wants it to be manifested. But that's the key. It's not selfishness. It's not to show who I am or who you are. But that God would be glorified and receive the glory and the honor from our life. You sisters may come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Just a short text, but I pray it was able to help someone. Somewhere you can grab something in there. But saints, we've got higher rungs. The word is coming sharp, like a two-edged sword, but it's cutting, it's getting, it's honing to be that. You know, I often think of us brothers as we bow hunt. And you know, used to be, when I first started hunting, we'd grab an arrow and a bow and a broadhead. We didn't care. And we would just go out and hunt. But as time has went on, technology, the bows became so much high tech. And you got to get the arrow, the weight of the arrow just right. And you want the right balance in the arrow to make it fly just right. You get too much, you got so much poundage that it'll snap the shaft. And as we're coming down into this last few moments of time, God's word is coming down. It's been fine-tuned right down to the letter. And it's got to, everything has to match 100% or it ain't going to fly straight off of that arrow, that bow. But that's where God's word's bringing us. It's bringing us to that honed razor's edge we've heard about, we've talked about for years. We've seen it. People, oh, it's coming to that, but it's here. And by God's grace, I pray that each one of us has that desire burning in our heart to be that one. Lord, it may cost me a little more of this life. It may cost me some self-sacrifice. It may cost me a family member. It may cost me some ridicule and persecution. But as long as I know, I'm following the word. And that's what it's got to be. You've got to focus your attention back to the word. And focus out our ideas and church theology and creeds and bring it back to the word. It's what God said about it. And he don't mix words. What he said is exactly what he meant. And it'll produce that life in a people. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. You know, just thank the Lord every day for what he's doing. You know, you see many answered prayers through life. Some you share, some you don't. But you know, God is so real. Amen. Just thank him for his mercy and his grace. But oh, there's coming a day. Amen. We get over there. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus as our brother comes. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. And if you truly aren't free, he's here to set you free. But you've got to want to be free. You've got to be willing and want a life that he's got for us. And it's an everyday life. Whether I'm a wife, a husband, a daughter, a son, there's a life that goes with it. We've all been, I may be a mother. I've got duties as a mother. As a husband, I've got duties as a husband. And this word has totally given us a roadmap that we've got to each one match. And how if I see my life slacking in any of those little things, oh, you know, how we ought to press and want that changed in my life. You know, from being on the job with men to whatever it is, that they could see Jesus Christ in me without me saying a word. God is so real. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Jesus set you free. Amen. I couldn't help but to think again, many things Brother Timothy was speaking about and in the Word and so forth, and to think of the day and time we're living in. You know, he was mentioning again how sharp it is, and we mentioned this morning also. We can see it's got to come back to exactly line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. It's got to be everything exact. And I can't help but to think again, as the Scripture speaks in Ephesians 4, until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Can we really realize the fullness of Christ?
Amen.
How exact Christ is. He is every word. Is that right? Isn't Christ the full word?
Amen.
Then won't the bride be the full word?
Amen.
Absolutely. She has to be. She has to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, the unity of the faith. Oh, my. Lord, pour it on.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be exactly what you want me to be.
Amen.
And we know that those that ain't predestinated will never hold on. It's impossible for them. But those that have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, they've been predestinated. God's seen it in his mind. They're going to make it. God's going to make the way. God's going to give them the desire they need. God's going to forgive them what they need forgiven of. Everything will be exactly the way God wants it to be.
Amen.
Lord, I want to be in that number.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take me over.
Amen.
Here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Do you feel burning your heart?
Amen.
The closeness to be exact.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, burn it in our hearts. Brand our hearts, Lord. Amen. Let us bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these precious words of life. Lord, we've been able to sit here and to listen to and measure ourselves up by it. Oh, God, we're living in such a serious time, yet a joyful and wonderful time, Lord, to see what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And we know that not very many is going to see and recognize, Lord, the time that we are in. It'll just be something, Lord, people will just be trying to live a good life. They'll be trying to be Christians. They'll be trying to follow a message of the hour. But, Lord, in the middle of all that, there's a true bride you have sent upon this earth, Lord, that to her, every word, Lord, is important. Everything must be fulfilled exactly to the T. Every dot on the I, as the prophet said. He used that little illustration before, Lord. It's every dot on the I, every T must be crossed. Exactly. And Lord Jesus, that's what we want branded into our hearts. Lord, a full, complete desire to see that word fulfilled in our lives. And our lives burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, bless us now. Because, Lord, we know if we come into that position and move fully in that position with you, Lord, nothing will be able to stand in our way. Nothing whatsoever. But Lord Jesus will be sons and daughters of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and you being fulfilled in our lives. So we thank you now, Lord, again for this day. And may this day not be forgotten, but Lord, may it be a reality in our hearts. And draw us closer now is our prayer. As we part from this little building here, Lord, and we go up to the little building up there to have some fellowship, pray that our fellowship will be pure and joyous. And Lord, may we have a love for each other.
Yeah.
Father, not something in our hearts to try to hurt somebody, but a love and understanding, cherishing each other, Lord. For you have given us these times to enjoy each other in the Spirit. We thank you now, Lord. In all things, we give you the glory and honor. In your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus, He's Everything to Me. Is he everything to you?
Yes.
Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. One more time. Yes. Oh, yes, he's everything, he's everything.
bless you. And we'll meet you up there in the building.